Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. These are God's words. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before Yahweh! Why have you brought up the assembly of Yahweh into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to them. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with Yahweh, and he was hallowed among them. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. My dear children, what you need is the grace of God to take from you the heart of stone, the rebellious heart that is against him, and to give you a heart of flesh from the Lord Jesus Christ. A believing and worshiping heart that is from the Lord Jesus. Simply having God's word or having God's ministry or ministers or even having endured God's discipline, these things will not give you knowledge of God and love for him and obedience to him apart from miraculous, supernatural, gracious work in your hearts. A lot of time has passed. When you come to chapter 20, it tells us it is the first month, but it doesn't tell us what year. But there are some hints. They are back in the wilderness of Zin, which is where the spies were originally sent out, and the wandering period began. And the death of Miriam indicates that there is a changing of generations, just as in the last part of the chapter, the death of Aaron will occur. So this is the new generation. These are those who will soon be numbered again and enter as those who are entering the land. These are the children who have grown up in the wilderness. And it turns out that they have not learned. They are no different than their parents. This is not surprising, considering who their parents were, and yet it is still grievous, knowing that their parents ought to have taught their children the word and ought, in dependence upon God's grace, to convict the hearts of their children, have trained them up in the fear of the Lord. So they're back in the border of the promised land where we were in chapter 13, and there is this change of generations, but some things remain the same. There's no water for the congregation, so what do? They gather against Moses and Aaron, and they make the same complaints that they have brought God's people out in the wilderness to die, and they wish themselves back in Egypt, in verse 5, and they wish that they had died with, they call them their brethren. When our brethren died before Yahweh. Well, the ones who are said to have died before Yahweh are Korah and Dathan and Abiram in that rebellion. And so, as is often done, is still done today, it's almost a competitive sport among historians and church historians. They remember the ones who were rebellious against God, rebellious in their doctrine, rebellious in their worship, rebellious in their practice, and yet they remember them favorably. And here they're calling Korah and Dathan and Abiram their brethren. Well, certainly there's a family resemblance, isn't there? They even make reference particularly to the fruit of the land that the spies had brought back in verse 5. They don't talk about the flowing with milk and honey that was part of the original promise. They talk specifically about the fruits that the spies had brought back, and they complain there's not any of that fruit where they live. There's no water to drink. And so the rebellion of the people is the same. There's something more needed than the passing of generations. There's something more that is needed than the passage of time. There's something more that is needed than merely having the Word of God, the tabernacle of God, the worship of God, the ministers of God, Moses and Aaron, who are still going to the door of the tabernacle and meeting and worshiping. We must have God's supernatural, resurrecting, almighty grace to change our hearts. Now, there is a great display of grace here. In the past, with their parents on several occasions, when there had been rebellion against God in such a fashion, the Lord had threatened to destroy them all. He doesn't even do that here. It's just as his glory appeared to Moses and Aaron in verse 6, and then Yahweh spoke to Moses in verse 7. He says, take the rod and gather the congregation and speak to the rock. Well, this is great grace. He says, it will yield its water, and you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that they drank from the rock in the wilderness, and the rock was Christ, that the Lord was teaching them about life that he would give them beyond their imagination, beyond their desserts, that would come from the Lord Jesus. And praise God, he is indeed the one from whom we receive life that is beyond our imagination and beyond our desserts. But we must interact with God first and obey God's word and trust him about his methods. The great sin of Moses here was not anger. He was angry with them. He was indignant with them. That's true. And when he recounts this later, he's going to tell them that his being angry with them was the occasion for his sin. But look at what verse 12 says about his sin. Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. They ought to have trusted the Lord and that his methods would work. So the Lord says, take the rod, gather the congregation, and speak to the rock. Verse 9 says, Moses took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. So far, so good. Step 1. Verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rocks. So far, so good. Step 2, take the rod, gather the congregation. What was number 3? Speak. And he said to them, 2.5. To whom was he supposed to speak? He was supposed to speak not to the rebels, not to the congregation, but to the rock, showing that it was by God's grace in God's Son that they would get life, that they can't get life by the anger of man, and they can't get life by the plan of man, neither the physical life that they needed from the water, and certainly not the spiritual life that they need to cure their rebellious hearts. And so it was unbelieving of Moses. He says, here now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And so he tried to bring the water out of the rock. Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Oh, the danger of thinking that we are the ones who are going to give other people life, whether it's in a very literal physical sense, in which we do our work not as unto the Lord, but as those hoping in ourselves by our work that We are the ones who are going to feed our families, provide for them and protect them, etc. But even worse, spiritually, when we do what we do thinking that we have to do it so that we can produce life, no. We must come to God in the means and the ways that He has said, trusting that He is going to give us life beyond our imagining and certainly opposite our deserts. That gathered congregation was not supposed to hear a lecture from Moses. They were to hear Moses interceding with the rock, praying to the rock, asking the rock for water. Speak to the rock, and it will yield water for you. Because God's salvation comes by His sovereign grace. Christ's salvation comes by His sovereign grace. And so it turns out not only that the congregation were rebels like their parents, but that Moses and Aaron were rebels like the congregation. They came to a point where they did not believe the Lord. And because they did not believe the Lord, they did not hallow the Lord. Now, if you have a problem with anger, one of the main reasons that you do is you do not believe the Lord. You are not trusting Him that He's ruling and overruling in the situation. And when you lash out in anger, it shows that you are not trusting His ways, His instruction for how to resolve the situation. And so their unbelief, their failing to hallow the Lord, issued in this sin. But did you notice what God graciously did anyway when Moses struck the rock twice with his rod? God still gave them water. Now there are people like, well, this was known in the wilderness that there are places where there are pockets of water and you can break through to the pocket of water and the water will come out. Yeah. For millions of people and all of their animals? No, this was a miraculous gift of water by God, which is a great reminder and a help to us that even when God's servants are not doing perfectly, God may yet be gracious. Now, it would be very wicked and very foolish for someone who knows what the word of God had said to Moses and saw what Moses did and saw the water come out abundantly to sit down and write a book about how it really doesn't matter if you obey God perfectly, that it really doesn't matter if you follow God's word, maybe write a sequel about how to strike rocks and get water for millions of people. No, that's utter rubbish. That's utter nonsense. What it shows is not that what Moses did was permissible, or that we should ever imitate what Moses did. What it shows is that God is merciful beyond what we can imagine. There are many things that people have done in the churches, and God has yet given His people life, yet maintained His gospel, yet caused people to come to faith. And others have said, see, they did those things. They allowed that stuff in their worship. They did things this way. They had women lead these groups. They did this, or you know, all these things that are not told in the Bible, not commanded in the Bible. And God used it. Well, yes, it tells us about God's goodness. It doesn't for a moment excuse anything that was done. Moses and Aaron were banished from the promised land for doing this. And yet behold the greatness of God's grace and mercy, that even when those whom He has called as officers, even when His servants in the church do poorly, yet does God retain the right to show abounding grace and generosity to His people. He hallows His own name. He hallows His own name by showing miraculous grace. Moses and Aaron did not hallow His name. They did it the wrong way. And yet God hallowed His own name by giving the people water. But God also hallows His name by disciplining Moses and Aaron. Because you did not believe Me to hallow Me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And so the people are Meribah people, just like the waters of Massah and Meribah a generation ago with their parents. But the Lord hallows His own name in showing grace, and also in disciplining Aaron and Moses. He will soon say, Moses, My servant is dead. Now arise, enter the land. And He'll lead them in by Joshua. But it will be the Lord's name that is hallowed. So may God give us abounding grace and keep us from unbelief, from failing to hallow him, from rebellion against him and his word and his servants. May he keep us from resorting to our own ideas. May he give us to trust him and obey him and hallow his name. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word and for your great grace to us that is not only beyond what we can do and works even apart from anything that we do, but even often, O Lord, exactly opposite our own unfaithfulness to you. And so we ask for forgiveness from our sins. We ask for eyes to see the greatness of your generosity and your kindness, particularly in the churches. We ask for reformation and revival to come. We pray that you would hallow your name by showing grace, by giving repentance. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.